You know, if I would have applied myself, I could have gone to the NBA.
You think so?
Yeah, I think so. But it's just like, it's been done. You know, I didn't want to, I was like, I don't want to be a follower. Hi, I'm Jason Concepcion.
And I'm Shea Serrano. And we are back. We have a new podcast from Wondery. It's called Six Trophies.
Woo!
And it's the f***ing best.
Each week, Shea Serrano and I are combing through all the NBA storylines, finding the best, most interesting, most compelling stories, and then handing out six pop culture themed trophies for six basketball related activities.
Trophies like the Dominic Toretto, I Live My Life a Quarter Mile at a Time trophy, which is given to someone who made a short-term decision with no regard for future consequence.
Or the Christopher Nolan Tenet trophy, which is given to someone who did something that we didn't understand.
Catalina Wine Mixer trophy.
Ooh, the Lauryn Hill You Might Win Some, But You Just Lost One trophy. And what's more, the NBA playoffs are here, so you want to make Six Trophies your go-to companion podcast through all the craziness. Follow Six Trophies on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. Listen ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.
What's up, y'all? It's Drewski, and I've teamed up with Mountain Dew to produce a hilarious new basketball podcast called The Dew Zone with Drewski. Learn the backstories of your favorite ballers and celebrities like Jamal Murray.
Did you have, like, a favorite team? Was it the Raptors at the time or no? Was the Raptors even started around that time?
Come on, bro.
I ain't that old, fam. You're talking like I'm 50.
Taylor Rooks, Asia Wilson, and many more. You won't want to miss this. Listen to The Dew Zone with Drewski on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you listen to podcasts.
It's Flo with a super weird word, nightgown. If you ask me, it sounds less like clothes you wear to bed and more like things you say to your clothes. Good night, capri pants, sleep tight sweaters, nightgown. We've got a big day tomorrow. Now a weird word I just made up, flotection. It sounds like great protection for your new home through me and Progressive, and that's because it is. I said good night, capri pants. Go to sleep.
Save an average of 17% on car insurance when you bundle home and auto through Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company affiliates and other insurers. Discount not available in all states or situations.
This is with Giancarlo Nava and Ryan Goins.
Welcome to the Heat Beat Podcast. I'm Giancarlo Nava. And with me today is not our co-founder and producer, Mr. Brian Goins. It's his birthday, and he feels like because it's his birthday, he can't do a show. And honestly, that's just lazy. And Brian, you should care about other people, not about yourself. How about you stop caring about yourself and help us? I'm going to slander Brian all show because he's left me to do everything by myself, including upload the episode, so I'm very upset. With me today, Mikaias Duncan, statistician. How are you, sir?
Doing all right. How are you?
Pun master. I'm livid. We have Alex Toledo, who was only 4 minutes late today.
I was 1 minute late.
No, you were 4 minutes late, guy, because it was 8:04, and I was about to curse.
I know the truth in my heart.
And Brian's not here to edit out the cursing, so...
I'm on 2 hours of sleep. Look, if Brian were
here,
if
you're on 2 hours. What do you like here?
That wasn't the point. If Brian was here, he would have put some birthday noises after you introduced it was his birthday. But you don't know what you're doing.
No, Brian would have probably done the Mark Hockman noise. Hey, it's Mark Hockman. See, this is why I need Brian, because Brian would have played a noise. I would have gotten mad at him. We would have gotten 3 minutes of content, and this is our life now. All right, so we are Brianless today. It's just us three. We're rolling. I feel, we're going. We haven't talked finals since game two. So, Nikias.
Yes, sir.
Cleveland plays a close home game to which Golden State very embarrassingly beat them. Then they produce the game of their lives. Probably, man, I don't want to say it's one of the best offensive performances I've ever seen, but it has to be up there. And I felt in game five, Cleveland was up, but... once Kerr went to that death lineup early, I think it was very clear that Cleveland cannot play with them.
Mm-hmm.
And Nikias, I can't think of a good reason why Kerr did not do that earlier, right? Because it was pretty immediately. Once they realized that Zaza could not play, he's like, okay, we're done here. Come on, Iguodala. Draymond to set. Like, Alex, you're laughing, but like that's exactly what happened, right?
Yeah, it is.
Like, Zaza got 2 minutes, then got the hook. He's like, dog, sit on the pine. Let's go. And, like, that was fast, which I thought was funny.
Yeah, I guess I'm not sure what made him hold back from it. And I guess he didn't want to burn his guys out. But they used the lineup so scarcely even throughout the playoff. Well, I mean, that was more Mike Brown, but Steve Kerr just didn't want to go to that lineup. It was kind of funny watching him finally... throw that out there in game five and also finally start running some Steph and Durant action after, you know, four games of barely seeing
that
it.
I was so upset. I'm like, they get a good shot every time.
You could talk me into trying to save the depth lineup until you absolutely need it, but there isn't really no reason for you to not go to Steph and Durant at least, what, 4, 5, 6 times a quarter?
I mean, and what I thought was interesting was how Cleveland was giving Steph the rim. So, right? Especially in that Durant pick and roll. Like, they trap him, and he either swings the ball or he cuts. Like, I don't know. Every time that they ran it, they got a good shot. And I was actually surprised that I did not. And I know that they don't run a lot of high pick and roll, but I was really surprised they didn't try the Durant-Draymond pick and roll.
I mean, because I think they've liked using Draymond as more of the facilitator, the guy that brings the ball up, the guy who has the ball in his hands first and not last. So I feel like if you do the Curry Draymond pick that they used to do last year, it ends up with Dre taking a shot because Cleveland is giving him that shot. They're worried about everybody else. Dre was getting open shots the whole time.
And I know that Durant played well, but just that play effectively takes Kevin, like, and I think we can all agree that Kevin Love has improved as a defender, but mm-hmm. I think it's very unreasonable to ask him and Tristan Thompson to guard that, especially when Cleveland's big. Now, when they go small and LeBron's at the four, it's a different story, but when they, like, I just never saw it. And you can run horns to get Durant free to do these things, to have him at the ball and then Dre screen. Like, there's a lot of creative things that Kerr could have done, and I don't want to make this curse lander, because Nick, did you see all the curse lander on Twitter the next day?
Yeah, I was kind of a part of that.
Why?
I saw that.
I was more passive aggressive.
I missed that.
I don't know. I just didn't understand his rotation for one. I even wrote a piece about why, you know, Golden State probably needs to consider not even running a center because they weren't using the depth lineup nearly enough.
Zaza, yo.
But I kind of agree with him. I mean, beyond that and resting Steph and Durant at the same time.
I got that, though.
I mean, it worked out, but I just feel like once you hit the finals, there really isn't much of a reason not to have one of them on the floor for all 48.
I don't disagree with you, but I kind of think that lineup of Dre and Clay, and I don't have the numbers on the lineup, but that seemed like a good defensive lineup. And I think it was meant to buy a little bit of time for them to rest because they did run at a much slower pace than the other lineups. So to me, it reminded me of when Spo used to put like Udonis out there for like a minute and a half, and it was just to like buy time. He put like these funky lineups, and he's like, just buy me a minute and a half. Let's play this slow. Let's play deep. Like, that's how I experienced that. So I kind of got it from his perspective. Slow the game down a bit, get our guys some rest, give Clay some touches to get him in rhythm.
But to your point, it was a good defensive lineup. It had an 84 net defensive rating, but their offensive rating was 72.3. Ouch. So, yeah, it was.
They throw a David West out there with it, right?
Yeah.
That he was bad until the
so fourth. Tired of watching him.
They ran the offense through West in the post a lot. It kind of surprised me.
I know. I felt like Mark Jackson was coaching.
I think that's the one thing that makes him likable. That little post game that he has that he can pass from the high post.
I think that's the one thing that makes him likable.
Everything else, I can't stand watching him.
Dog, he's a little front runner, dude. I hate him. He's so annoying.
See, it wouldn't be so bad with him front running if he wasn't so opposed to it.
That's
during
the thing.
The 3 years.
I was like, dog, you slandered Miami for years, and then you go to
fake
the Spurs. Yeah, little fake ass tough guy, and then he goes.
He kisses Tristan Thompson in the mouth, directly in the mouth.
Man, okay, it's the next day. David West opens Twitter because he was too busy drinking champagne all night. He opens Twitter, he's scrolling through, and he sees the memes. How does a surly-faced David West experience this?
With a lot of expletives.
I imagine angrily, yes, with a lot of expletives. I imagine it's angry, it's profanity-laden.
Nah, I don't. I kind of disagree with you because at that point, since he's by himself,
Dog,
there's no one to put on
that
show
for. Dog, he's not
so like, he's just.
Oh, that's good. That's
Alex
good.
Did a radio.
Just gets a tear running down his face.
Oh my god! You know, man. I kept calling him Maurice Spates. Like, I almost tweeted Spates.
In his wildest dreams. Let me tell
he
you.
He ain't Mo Buckets, dog. He ain't Mo Buckets.
Hashtag David West, they all look alike.
Hashtag David West, yeah. No, hold on. Wait a second. Wait.
That's exactly what it is.
Whoa, in my defense, both similarly pigmented, bald people that should not be on the court for the Warriors.
Wait. Two big points. David West does not have a huge, charming mole on the top of his head.
What is that?
Can we make fun of that? Doesn't get buckets like most spades.
They don't call it David Buckets.
Yo.
That makes sense. It doesn't work.
Okay, we found the name of the episode. David Buckets. Covering the finals a week later, only here on Heat Beat. Oh, God, that was funny. God. Does Tristan Thompson, can he laugh at those memes or no? Or his the Kardashians don't let him laugh at them? I feel like none of those people. I feel like Tristan might get a laugh at it, but David West ain't laughing at that dude.
I don't know. David West probably upset. The jig's up now.
Do you think did he sign a multi-year deal, or is he out?
I think he's a free agent, if I'm not mistaken. I'm pretty sure he signed a one-year deal.
I mean, the Warriors don't really care about any of these bigs leaving.
Yo, Kerr about to show him the door.
Yeah, we'll get a Brandon Wright.
Yo, show him the door, dude.
Jordan Hill.
They got JaVale, dude. They got JaVale. I feel bad for Zaza, because I don't think Zaza had a bad year, but boy, was that a bad series for him.
Oh my God, all the missed layups.
So bad, dude.
The dumb fouls.
I thought he started off the series a little strong.
First game.
Well, I thought he was boxing out Tristan very well, but outside of that, he trashed.
Yeah, that's basically all he did. Like, I knew from game one, when Golden State opened up with, like, two straight pick and rolls in game one, and Zaza didn't shoot a wide open layup, I was like, okay, this isn't about to work.
McBob's! You got the McBob's-itis.
Not right now. Not this week.
Oh, we can't? Okay, no, let's move on. Who cares about the finals? We got to talk about McBob's. Yo, okay, if McBob's gets Gordon Hayward, for the audience that doesn't know, it is believed that Josh McRoberts is putting in the work after being slandered on the internet for three straight years to get us Gordon Hayward because they are white people and they're friends. I think that's what we're assuming, right?
After being called a school shooter endlessly.
Oh my God. So it is to Twitter's belief, because McBob's has been photographed in the past with one Gordon Hayward, that McBob's is doing the hustle to try to get Hayward in. But I don't think McBob's knows that if Hayward comes, he's probably going to get dealt for something that they can use to win, which is kind of funny. Do you keep McBob's if he gets you Hayward? Like, does McBob's go, yo, I'll help you up, but you got to promise not to trade me?
I would do that. We're going to need a backup five.
Yo, that's an easy promise.
Bowen wants
his contract.
If I'm McBob's, I start making demands. He's like, I'm not about to go to Detroit. You ain't trading me.
Yo, $6 million will barely get you a third string player in a free agency market right now, and no one wants McBob.
So James Johnson's gonna get, man.
Yeah.
No, but I'm telling you, I go into Riley's office with a list of demands. I want like a personal assistant. I want Wade's locker. I ask for Wade's number just to see if they'll do it. Yo, give me number three. I want to change. What do you say? No, Josh. Because, you know, like, if you say Riley, you go, no, he's just going to call Gordon Hayward. He's like, yo, these people are suckers. You know, don't come here. They're mean. They drove LeBron out. They killed Chris Bosh.
We're going to be sporting
I know, a really I, white lineup next oh, season. Oh, my God. Yeah, we need to
we're
keep James Johnson. Dragic. Yeah. Oh, God,
we're going
to
have
yeah.
McBob. We're going to have Hayward. We're going to have Teodosic.
Oh, that's right. That's Gordon's boy, right?
And then one of the rookie white bigs, TJ Lee for Zach Collins or something.
They're gonna draft some Duke white guy.
Is he Gordon's boy? Is he Slovenian too?
No, but I think I don't know.
No, he's not.
I heard he was Gordon's boy. That European.
He's Serbian. Guy. If they're not from the same country, they can't be boys. That's how it goes.
Eastern European draft analysis. Huh? I thought I read that they were friends. Well, Gordon's in Europe right now. Gordon's doesn't he play for Barcelona? Or he plays in Spain, right?
No.
That guy?
Teodosic played for Moscow.
Somebody Google this. Brian!
It's
Google,
Moscow.
Brian!
100%.
Brian, where are you?
Fire me if it is in Moscow.
Yo, because Goran was in Europe recently. He was in Madrid watching soccer. So maybe Goran's out there putting in work. Some recruitment?
Doubt no? it.
I hope so.
Earn your damn money, Gordon. So we have this. We have this Gordon Hayward thing going. Who was the one that reported it? Who had it first? Oh, it was Zach Lowe, right?
About
yeah, he has interest in Miami. It was like Miami Boston. That was the
I most- mean. The first thing that came out was a couple months ago with Isola saying that there were rumblings or whatever. There were murmurs.
Oh, that's right. We did like two shows on that. Thank you, Frank.
Yeah, and then but from recently, I honestly don't remember the first one.
Because this is...
Mark Stein said something. Barry Jackson said something.
Oh, it was Barry. It was Barry. Yes, you're right. Oh, and then Ben Dawson called Barry a liar, and then he Twitter descended on him for a second time.
Again.
Yeah. Again.
So much fun.
Ben Dawson. Okay, I got to fill the audience in. For the audience who doesn't know, Ben Dawson is some sort of Utah writer. Some jazz writer. And this guy got into it with Heat Twitter probably a couple months ago this season with our own Christian Hernandez about Hassan Whiteside versus Gordon Hayward debate, whatever.
Rudy Gobert.
Yeah, Rudy Gobert. And he Twitter descended on him, called him, because he just started lobbing like Heat fans are obtuse and you guys are psychopaths, which, by the way, we are. Cannot deny that Heat Twitter is full of, you know, questionable characters, but that's not the
They're
point.
They're better at being psychopaths.
Yeah, don't call us that. Only we can call us that. And he Twitter descended on this poor man, and now we did it a second time when he called Barry Jackson a liar. Because this guy is so convinced that Gordon Hayward doesn't want to leave beautiful Salt Lake City. I was like, dude, get over yourself. Nobody's out here wanting to live in Salt Lake City. I don't care how white you are.
Oh, God.
Nobody's out here.
Isn't that like White Haven, though?
That's what I'm saying, dude. Don't they have like... Yeah.
I don't know. I feel like you've got it wrong. I feel like... I'm not sure about Gordon Hayward, but I feel like that's like the haven for white people. You go there once you've made it, and you just have a nice little life there.
What did you just?
That's for guys like Jimmer.
What did you just accuse Utah of?
Nothing. Redlining. What? Gaslighting.
The what?
I forgot which one's which.
Oh my god.
Another both bad.
Okay. Regardless, Gordon Hayward.
Stop. Stop.
I know that Heat Twitter kind of went crazy this week because then we thought we're getting Chris Paul, Paul George, and Gordon Hayward because who I can't keep. Listen, we need like an official tracker of who's reporting what. Because I remember, oh, it was Woj that said Chris Paul has Miami in his peripheral, whatever that means. And if Woj says something, we got to believe it, right?
Nope.
Except when it comes to LeBron, like that's so odd. Walsh breaks everything, but then when it comes to LeBron, he has, like, no sources.
Well, because LeBron probably has... I think LeBron has a vendetta against Woj after, you know, all the slander he did.
That's probably fair.
I mean, so...
He's still doing it.
He's still doing it. Yo, Woj hasn't given up, yo.
He hasn't. This season... Because the Cavs do the same thing every season. They have, like, a rough point, usually, like, in January. And then Woj does, it like, a five-minute monologue talking about how the Heat would... We're better, and although I don't disagree, he's still doing his thing out there.
I'm about that, yeah.
No, yeah, me too. He's a lifer. He's a Heat lifer.
But yeah.
Or just a Heat lifer.
Can't wait until he reports that a Gordon Hayward and Paul George are coming together, man.
But like, how
could be so lit that day?
How could they make? Because I know it's been talked about, but I like rumor. Like this is all nothing has been reported with any sort of credibility, but. I know that the rumor mill and the rumbles have been going on, and people have talked about Paul George possibly wanting to play with Gordon Hayward and Miami being a possibility. So I don't really see how that could happen money-wise without moving Hassan. And at that point, would you really want to?
I mean, if you have to choose between Hassan and Paul George...
Because it's not just Hassan. Like, you know, like it's Hassan and like others. It's like Hassan probably... Winslow and Jay Rich, and at that point, like, are you really gonna do? Because like, at least Justice and Jay Rich are cheap for next year.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So it's like, how realistic is your contending chances if you're gutting your roster like that?
Get back something else. So.
Yeah, you know what I mean. So something useful.
I guess my counter to that would be the current. What's your current core? Dragic, Whiteside, and who?
No, but hold Winslow. On. I want to make it clear that you do that. Obviously, you do that trade. But I mean, but you need the commitment from Paul George too. So it's like if Paul George is committing to you, you absolutely do that trade. I'm just talking in means of realistic contention.
Okay. Well, yeah. Well, I think you still do that though, because I think that puts you closer. It's easier to build around those guys or convince guys to take pay cuts to help support those guys rather than Goran, Hassan, Justice, and then you try to convince guys to come.
It might be. Man, you know, I'm thinking like LeBron has to break down eventually, right? Right?
I mean, like, see, this is why we need Harrison.
Because I know, because I was just thinking like somebody needs to make an HGH joke, but you know, Harry's not here. He's gonna say, "Yeah,
it's so predictable, though." I know. It's not that it's incorrect. It's just predictable.
It's not that it's incorrect. It's just predictable. No, but like honestly, like I think maybe this year or next year is kind of the time that you want to start building your contender, because that has to, you know what I mean? Like that bubble has to burst. Like that cannot keep going on.
Oh yeah, I agree.
And honestly, I know that the Cavs ran through the East with relative ease, but I think the things that we have been screaming about are so. I mean, I think, I don't know who's been tweeting them out a lot, but the screen caps of Cleveland defense. It's like five guys up top and like Iguodala's behind them unguarded, or like they're like six guys on. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like they're.
No, their defense is a mess.
It's a mess, and they're kind of stuck with their contracts. There's really not much they can do. You know what I mean? So,
The Cleveland defense versus the Warriors offense is basically McGregor versus Mayweather.
You're on fire today, Alex. So, honestly, like, and those guys are not getting any younger. And Kyrie, I don't think has made. I mean, I feel bad because I'm not watching them religiously, but it doesn't. At least in that series and throughout the playoffs, it doesn't really appear to me like he's going to be any sort of better defender going forward.
Yeah, the effort was there, but I mean, he still dies on screens. He did a good job on Draymond in the post, for what it's worth, but.
But like Nikias, I know that you're probably going to agree with me, but like people a lot of times associate defense with effort, and that's part of it. But no, it's not. Like, defense is a skill that you need to know. You need to be aware of schematics of where you need to be. It's not just try really hard, because guys try really hard. I don't think Isaiah Thomas doesn't try really hard.
Oh, yeah. Isaiah fights. He's just small. It's just really
Doc, he gets lost. Or sometimes it's just there's a lot of motion going on and turns around and boop, there's the cutter.
I've never been so happy that he's small until this week when I think it was Tim McMahon that reported this, if I remember correctly, that Hayward might not want to play with Isaiah because of how small he is, and also because of how much he over dribbles.
That was so funny. Like,
thank the Lord. So we made the right. Trade in 2015.
Woo! We got a Gordon Hayward. Yeah. Everyone. Okay. So. Nikias knows. So I had a friend over. She wanted to hear me do the show, and she just took her scotch and just left. I think she was got bored of our sports talk.
You should have put us on speaker.
You know what's funny is that this is probably one of the most sporty shows we've done.
That's probably why she left.
Yeah, so. I mean it's 20 minutes in, and you know it's been extremely sporty, and so got 30 to go. Woo. Yeah.
Wow, that sounded really unenthusiastic.
Yeah, well, because I thought we've done like 40 minutes already. I feel like we've talked about. I feel like we've covered a lot.
Oh my god. Oh,
I feel like we've covered a lot. But back to Kyrie slander. Oh, did you guys see those lists? Those top 10 position lists? Did you guys see that? That
was on Twitter.
Yeah. Oh, Nikias, do you want to talk about that a little bit?
Oh.
Can you pull those up? Okay.
The shooting guard list is what took me out.
Please, okay. Can you do me a favor and find that? Alex and I will talk about something else while you find that. Alex, did you see these lists?
No, man. I'm not sure what you're talking about.
Okay, some guy, some account, just tweeting out his top 10 positions, top 10 players at each position. So he did he did a bunch of lists, and he tweeted them out. And this is like an account, I think it has like 5,000 followers, so it's not like super huge, but it's big-ish. And And it just kind of went around, and like we're all looking at it sideways, like, what is this guy talking about? The guy's right. The shooting guard list is hilarious. The center list is funny. But the shooting guard list, there's like eight funny things in that list.
It just doesn't. Like, Devin Booker's 5 on the shooting guard list. Dwayne Wade is 6. Avery Bradley is like 8. Chris Middleton was 10. So, of course, I got tagged for that one. But. So somebody else asked about Middleton. He was like, well, he didn't look good post-injury. And I was like, okay, fine. But then I look at the power forward list, and Ben Simmons is 7, and he hasn't played a minute.
But he's a Sixer guy, and Joel Embiid is like number 4 in the center list.
Yeah, I'm just – if you're going to have a bad opinion, at least have a bad, consistent opinion.
Thank you, just like me.
Dude, I'm pretty – I bet that kid is like 17. Am I wrong?
Probably. I don't know. I'm still looking for this thing.
He's putting up lists and gets 5,000 followers. We write all these articles, put in all this work with the podcast.
People are here buying followers, man. Less than 2,000. Orlando Alzagari.
Nothing is fair.
These people out here buying followers like Orlando, like Big O. Did you guys see me beef with Big O the other day?
It was so weird. It felt unprovoked.
Who, mine or him?
Yes.
I don't know. He was just dude, that game was boring. Not boring, but I was kind of upset because the Warriors were losing. And I just got mad at him because he was just I was getting annoyed by people saying about the fix. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And he was one of – and, like, that annoys me for so many reasons because, number one, I think that game the Warriors took more free throws than Cleveland in game 4, right? So that was the game everyone was saying was the fix.
Yeah.
The Warriors took more free throws. And I'm like – that series went 5, and that pretty much exactly how everyone expected that series to go. I think everyone said 4, maybe 5. Cleveland might go crit. I think that was even because I listened to the Lebatard podcast, so I've been behind, and they were even saying weeks ago, oh yeah, it's probably gonna be 4, maybe 5 if Irving goes nuts one game. That's exactly what happened. Exactly, man. I can't find this list, guys. I'm having a hard time.
I'm trying to find it myself, man. I hope he deleted it.
You hope? No, I hope
not. I'm just trying to find the account for now.
I'm trying to find, because I tweeted it out the other day, and I can't find it. I think he got rid of it. I'm sad now. I was, yeah. Oh, I think he had Dion Waiters on the list, too.
Yeah, Dion was 10 on the shooting guard list. Man.
Oh, have you guys seen Draymond's level of petty today?
Yes, I have. I'm so proud.
Man, this is how
him and LeBron have had me cracking up today.
That's why I wanted Brian here so that we can have some sound. But Draymond was.
Oh my God! Did you see Russell Westbrook, baby?
No.
Oh my God!
What? Oh my God! I'm sending you that right now.
What is that?
Hold on, right? I'm gonna just hold it up on Skype. Look at this.
Oh my God! It looks just like him.
Look at his face.
Is that Photoshop?
Dude, they're making the same face. That's his game face.
Hold on. This is not a visual medium.
Angry baby.
Dude, they're looking at a picture of Russell Westbrook. Dude, that's a game face right out of birth. That's the killer instinct, baby. We just see full proof.
Did you see how LeBron made a tweet making fun of Draymond? Because Draymond had a shirt, you know, with the Quicken Loans logo, right? And it said Quickie, you know, because games, quick series. So LeBron tweeted it and goes, that's what she said, and put a bunch of thinking face emojis. And did you see who liked that picture? Did you see who liked it?
Nah.
James Harden, Russell Westbrook. I was like, yo. That was hilarious. But Draymond's like, I'm out here for this petty. Like, this is what I'm about. Draymond's my favorite. Like, I love that guy.
He's so much fun.
Him, man. Dude, I saw, like, how I learned of that picture was seeing Draymond DJ wearing that. And I'm like, this is the greatest thing ever.
Dude, he was roasting them at the parade.
I know.
He was a one-man show roasting them.
He's doing stand-up comedy.
And roasting LeBron saying, oh, LeBron was the one to start the super team. Yeah. What do you mean you never played? Like, oh, my God. I can't imagine being at a parade and having a guy talk so much shit about the other team like that.
He just did stand up.
Write it down, Brian.
Write that down, Brian.
Updated. It appears he did delete the
list. Oh my God, he did. I'm so disappointed.
Stick to man, you got to stand by that.
Man, listen, I've stood by so many bad takes.
Yo, Carl take. Oh, man.
Speaking of takes, did you guys see the videos from Stephen A. Smith's archive regarding analysis and other subjects?
No, what happened?
He was giving data. Stephen...
What did I miss?
How can we find a way to play the sound? I promise you, it's 100% worth it.
Okay, I'm gonna.
You need to trust me on this.
Okay, I'm gonna edit the sound in here. I'm gonna try to find it. If I can, I'm sorry, audience, but I'm gonna try to put the sound here. I don't know what you're. How long is the sound?
About a minute and a half more.
That sounds way too long. I changed my mind. I'm not playing the sound. You can go find it.
Do you want me to put like the end of it? The end is the best part of the video. The last like 30 seconds, maybe.
Okay, I'll put the last 30 seconds.
Okay, so you want me to play that for you guys?
I'm gonna edit it in. No.
Okay, but how are you gonna?
Oh, you want to play it now so we can hear?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, yeah, play it now so we can hear, and then I'll edit in a clean version.
You want me to send it to you, or do you just play it right now?
Just play it right now, dude.
Into an argument a few years ago, and she was living in Chicago, and it was Thanksgiving, and I was about to send her behind back. She ticked me off that much, but she had on a lingerie, and I was on the other side of the room. And then she got up, and you know, she was getting on and talking and running her mouth and all this stuff. Then she turned and she walked away. Her body was in the bedroom, but the booty was sticking outside of it. Stay with me. When I saw that, it's 10 o'clock in the morning. I walked up to her and I said, it's really not that important what we were arguing about. It's not that important. Because I knew that by that night, because we were going to go out to the family and all this stuff, I knew by the end of that night I wanted that. See, we were smart enough and wise enough. The difference between us and women is that she might have kept arguing until 10 o'clock that night. I knew that morning, all right, I got to work this out now and work, use all of these hours to my advantage if I want to get my hands on that tonight. That's the difference.
What was he talking about?
He's a mogul.
What was he saying?
Oh, my God. He was telling a story about one of his girls. And about, like, he strategizes in his head throughout the day, like, what he has to do so that by the time that it's time to you know, like, go do it, you know, so that it's possible. He makes it possible. He's an opportunist. That's what I got.
Do it with him.
I mean, what? Did you see that video? Yo, he looked pretty good in that video.
No, his hairline is, like, up to, like, his ears.
Nah, man, that guy has too much charm.
Charm?
I'm pretty sure he has a child. I think he has a daughter, if I'm not mistaken.
Does he? Oh. I'd be embarrassed.
And it's just funny because I'm not even sure like who he did this for. It just seems so like obscure and kind of like a side deal that he did for some extra money when he was
coming up. Michael Baisden radio show, if I'm not mistaken.
It was a what?
I said it was for the Michael Baisden radio show, if I'm not mistaken.
Jesus. What is that?
Oh, he's pretty big in the black community, actually.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Michael Baisden is, yeah.
Huh. The more you
so
know.
I can get connected there.
That's something that we don't, Alex and I don't know about. We're two little Hispanic kids.
See, this is what I'm here for, man.
Just, you know.
About the Mike Baisden info.
Alex, Cuban American. I'm Italian, Colombian American, you know? It's rolling through life. Yeah. Okay, well. Shows that.
Where's the fish? My lord.
Like, yeah, like the guy's just it's pretty big in the black community. And I was like, huh. I'm just here. I was like,
okay.
Alf would have been nice right now.
Alf definitely would have contributed something there.
You know what's funny is that I was trying to find a clip of a podcast to show. I have an anime Twitter account, and I wanted to show someone kind of what we do on the show. So I was looking at like some of the sample clips I've tweeted out, and the first one that comes up is Alf talking about Magic Johnson movie theaters. And how they contributed more to black-on-black crime than gangster rap. And I'm
that's
like,
a heck of a line.
I'm like, what the hell kind of show do we do? It's like we are honestly a disaster sometimes, half the time.
The Joe Johnson of sports podcast?
No.
Come on. I'm not talking about success. I'm talking about quality. Maybe like Damon Jones in his prime.
It's even worse.
Oh, you know what? Now that you know, we're kind of running out of things to talk about. I've been wanting to talk about this for a week now.
Says who?
Two weeks. I mean, we have plenty to talk about, but I wanted to get into this because we've been very sporty today. And I wanted to ask you guys on wedding etiquette. Because I was at a wedding a couple weeks ago. This is going to be a funny story. So I'm at a wedding a couple weeks ago, and it's the wedding of my good friend. And he is very... So he's not very religious, but his parents are very reserved Christian people. And his wife's parents are very reserved Hindu people. So I go to this wedding, and they had a Hindu wedding, and now they're doing a Christian wedding to appease both families. So I'm in Chicago, and I go to this wedding. And this is... Let me say this. This is my... drinking buddy, right? Like, we are friends because we would drink. Like, that's how our bond was forged. He was my college friend. He was a master student in forensics. I was just getting into college, and we bonded over sports and pounding beers. So my question is, how drunk am I allowed to get at a wedding with... It was open bar with a bunch of reserved Christians around. Am I allowed to get drunk?
I mean, I would say so. You're there for him, not his family.
That's what I'm thinking, right? Alex?
I think that's the right answer. Okay. I think that's the right answer.
That's exactly what happened. So I'm pounding, man. And I've been on a diet, so I haven't had alcohol probably in 2 months, right? Because I'm trying to cut weight to fit into my suit, and alcohol is sugar, and it's all bad for you. So I probably had around 13 to 15 gin and tonics in the span of 2 hours.
Oh my God.
Double gin and tonics.
That doesn't sound healthy.
It's not. But
double gin and tonics.
It was an open bar, and I went to town. And honestly,
so like 24 gin and tonics.
I can do that. Like, I've done it before. Like, I did not drink to what I could not do, but apparently I could not do it. And at one point in the night, I don't remember much. The last thing I remember, clearly, was going up for my last cocktail. And as I'm walking to the bar, I'm kind of stumbling around. And I'm thinking, I cannot audibly order my drink. I'm that... Because, like, I know... At this point, I know. I'm like, holy hell. I'm really bleeped up. I cannot say, could I have a double gin and tonic with lime? I can't. So I walk up. I stumble into the bar. And I kind of give a head nod. And this bartender's been with me all night. And just with the head nod, boom! Double gin and tonic with lime. I head nod back. I put my last dollar in the tip jar, and I skedaddle away.
Why does this sound like the script to an episode where the guy gets to his rock bottom?
No, hold on. Wait. That, so
just and it takes a dark turn.
So I have this drink. I'm drinking this drink. I drank like half of it.
God, it gets worse.
And my cousin's buddy, who I've become friendly with, name's Ken. So I met Ken at the Hindu wedding, and Ken and I bonded. So Ken comes over with a double gin and tonic and lime. And he goes, I saw you didn't have a drink, so I got you another one. And I'm drunk, so I'm like, I hold up my drink. So Ken hands me a second double gin and tonic. So I'm double fisting double gin and tonics at this point. So I'm just drinking and I'm dancing. I'm having a good time. A bunch of my friends are in a group, and I say, you know what? I want a picture of them. But my phone's in my pocket, and I have two drinks in my hand. So they go, don't worry. And I go, watch this. I grab one of the glasses with my teeth to pull out my phone, and the glass falls to the floor. Shatters, half a double gin and tonic on the floor. So I'm kind of like, should I clean? Should I not? I'm like, but I'm really drunk. So eventually the area gets cleaned, and after that I don't remember much. I don't remember anything else of the party. But then I get taken outside, and I'm lying face first on the grass. And they call our Uber, and our Uber's name is Craig. And they say, Johnny, do not say a word. We cannot let Craig know you're drunk. So I say, okay, I got this. I get in the car. Craig starts driving away. I say, Craig, slow down. I'm dizzy, man. So Craig's freaking out because he thinks I'm going to throw up in his car. So as soon as he gets on the highway, I say, pull over. I have to throw up. So Craig pulls over, and I apparently run into the highway.
Oh, my God.
What?
Are you making this up?
I swear to God. And there are pictures. So.
Wait, so you don't remember this?
I remember parts. I don't remember getting out of the car, but I remember where I ended up. So they told me I just kind of stumbled out of the car and I started walking into the highway. And they had to go, no, this way, this way. So they corralled me in, and apparently I beelined for the grass. They're like, you know how like highways, how they loop and it's like circular? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So that patch of grass in that little loop, I beelined to. And apparently my pants fell. I've lost weight. So the pants, I guess the pants, you know, the belt was not done all the way and the pants just totally fell and I fell. So I fall face first into this patch of grass that has a lot of mud in it. And then eventually they get me back in the car. So they're like, dude, Craig can't know that you're all wet. It's dark. Just shut up. So I get in the car and Craig goes, what's going on? And I go, do you like UFO? UFO's my favorite anime. And they're like, dude, just shut up. And I don't remember anything else from that night.
My God. So that, the episode of Family Guy.
This was the peak.
That was like, I cannot.
Gianni, and I can't believe how much of a darker turn it took. And I honestly feel bad.
No, so the next day, and this is why I bring up the question about how drunk am I allowed to get? Because the next day, we have like a lunch at the parents' house. And I'm mortified because I'm like, oh my God, how bad was I? And they go, you threw up on the welcome mat and, you know, you sent a guy to the hospital. And I go, I what? And they go, yeah, you sent a guy to the hospital, you know. A guy was, they brought a stretcher out and everything. And I go, what the hell did I do? They go, the glass that you spilled, that water, an old guy was dancing and he slipped on it and he did
a split
and apparently he like tore a bunch of like his muscles.
Oh my God.
Yeah, because he was like an old guy.
You're a horrible person.
He did, yeah, so nobody knew that was my glass. Apparently, thank God. So I'm at the party. They're all like,
"Thank God!"
Did you hear what happened to Dean? Dean went to the hospital. They had to bring out a stretcher and everything. All these white people, because they're like Midwestern white, and they're like, "Oh yeah, you know, I heard he slipped. You know, that's dangerous." And I'm thinking, "Oh my God, they can't know that was me." Am I allowed to get that drunk at a wedding?
No.
Because you answered yes before. Now you've changed.
What's wrong with you? I didn't think it was that. Jesus Christ.
You should have told the story first and then asked.
Cause. No, because I wanted to know what you guys thought before, and then after you heard, I wanted you to say again if you still felt the same way.
Oh, of course not. There are levels to this, man. You can't do that.
I can't.
At all. That's, you sent a guy to the hospital.
I did. Wow. I did. Like, they don't know it's me, though.
They're going to know it's you after this podcast.
I felt. Sorry, Mike. My bad. Mike's my buddy that got married. Sorry, Dean, for going to the hospital. If you listen, they're Bulls fans.
Oh, you think Dean's listening?
He's a Bulls fan. Probably not. Too busy losing. Got him.
You are unbelievable.
Got him. Wow. Yeah. You know, the only.
The hospital, now you're slandering his team on your podcast.
D Wade's leaving you guys.
You're such a horrible.
Yeah, Jimmy Butler's on the trade block, Dean.
You are terrible.
Should have said that to him as he went out on the stretcher. That would have been funny if drunk me, as he goes out on the stretcher, Jimmy Butler's on the trading block. Haul him out.
Oh my God.
What do you know that I don't?
LeBron's better than Jordan.
Oh, dude, I did that so much. I went to, man, I thought those people were going to kill me. I would walk out of bars and go, OBJ better than Jordan. And I leave. Heard booze. I went to
You're
go.
Still here.
Oh. I made it. They're not that bad. They're kind of, these white people are nice. I was only in the white areas.
Ah.
Like downtown Chicago and stuff. Yeah. The bars, yeah. Anyways, that's my story. Yeah, so I feel bad. And I wanted to know what you guys thought.
You should.
You think I'm a monster.
You should definitely
do it. You are literally a monster.
Yeah,
and something like a storybook for children. The guy who just tears down an entire city in like 1,000 different ways, just fucks up everyone's night. Jesus, man, you're a monster.
Oh, and the best part is that his wife hates me. So she probably hates me even more now.
I hate you.
So I'm at the parents' house, and then like I'm like, I want to drink a beer, because I'm not really hungover for some reason, magically. And I'm like, I really want a beer, but I feel like I can't. Like, right, I can't drink beer that day, right? That's a bad look, right?
Yes, man, it's a very bad look.
I drank three beers. I even tried to. You know what's funny is that if
it was
you guys,
a 35 listen, gin and tonics.
If you guys, if you guys want to laugh, I gotta find the date. I'm gonna tweet out the date after. But I tried to tweet that night. Do you remember?
Yo, you were texting us in the chat.
Was I?
Yes.
I don't remember.
Your spelling was somehow three times as bad.
I tried to tweet something, and the next morning I woke up to 30 notifications and goes, it's finally happened. He's broken. Like,
that was funny.
Yeah, like I and the only, you know what's funny? The only word I spelled right was Tyler.
That sounds about right.
My hatred shines through. It was funny because I think
put the cherry on top of the hatred.
Yeah, just, I was making a joke about, you know, fighting Tyler, and then someone goes, "Your hatred for him is beyond a fade." And I'm like, oh my god.
Dude, you don't want to fade with Tyler Johnson. You're gonna be the next one in the hospital.
Yeah, Tyler has open DMs on Instagram. You know, let's talk about this on air. Tyler,
if you don't do it, you're a phone.
Okay, no, I want to do it. Opinion. What do I ask Tyler Johnson? Because he has open DMs on Instagram, right?
Try him.
What should I say? So I'm thinking, why did you steal Dwayne Wade's money? That was my idea. Is there something better I can send him? Something funnier?
That's just an instant block.
What's your favorite anime, maybe?
I did. That was the other one. I was like, what's your favorite anime, right? So that was the first idea. And then I go, no, let's pump stronger. Why did you steal D Wade's money? Is there something better? And for the audience, if you're listening to this, tweet at GNavis103, at MIA Heatbeat. What should I tweet at Tyler? What should I DM to Tyler Johnson? Because he's made a mistake by having his DMs open. And he will pay.
I mean, you talk a lot about how much you hate him and how much it's worse than a fade. You should literally, like, try him in his DM and be like, oh, I'll knock another tooth out of you. Knock another one of your teeth out. See what happens. Just escalate it, man. Just be a complete heckler. Me, it's the DM.
Yeah.
I'll knock out a third.
I can't. That'd be funny, but I don't know if I could do that.
You're gonna get so blocked.
Not even gonna get so blocked. Is that? I mean, I have dreams of being in the media.
That's honestly, man.
Are those dreams over? Are those dreams over? Is it over? I think it's over. Yeah, it hasn't happened.
Except Nikias.
If it couldn't happen for Alf, it's not gonna happen for me, right? Yeah.
If you don't send anyone else to the hospital, you might have a shot.
The corporate machine did not eat me.
Dean will never read any of your articles.
No.
Ever.
No.
The only way you'll redeem the horrible Tyler takes is if you send another two flying, and if you send him to the hospital.
I feel like
I don't want him in the hospital. I just think like that's the only way you'd be able to redeem yourself. Then I just have to give you like a ton of respect.
If I fight Tyler and win, what does that do for my reputation? Does it justify the takes?
Are you kidding me? That's like, yes.
It justifies all the takes. Like, I'm free. Like, if I do that, like, I cannot be made fun of for Tyler jokes anymore, right?
Yes.
I say that's right. Fair, but
I'm just saying, like, if we fight him, man, like, we could Facebook Live it.
Oh, my God.
Make it a show event. You know, have, like, friends. We have, like, friends of the show there. We bring, like, Izzy and Sedano and Anthony Chang.
Okay. You got to let Leisure be the announcer.
Oh, my God, yes. Are you ready? Yo, yes. Jason.
Yo, that'd be great.
Jason, we miss you.
We need that Jason Leisure sound. Where's Brian?
God damn it, Brian. Brian's like he's going to Kobe's for dinner. He's like, I'm so washed. I'm going to Kobe's for my birthday dinner. I hope you're happy. Justice better.
Is it crazy that the last time I was at Kobe, like the one in Dolphin Mall, it was game four of the 06-07 first round between the Heat and the Bulls.
That was open then?
When the Bulls swept the Heat and Ben Wallace was hitting clutch free throws at the end of the game, and I literally wanted to hang myself for the first time in my life.
You know that I hated the Bulls that year because their opening night
so much.
The Bulls ran them out of the building. Remember that? On ring night. Which I think was on Halloween if I remember correctly.
Yep. It was.
You know,
10 years old, we remember Halloween.
Nikias.
Yo.
Getting back to sports a little bit. So let's reel this back in. That Cleveland team, as good as it, you know, who was it that said it? Was it Dave? Was it David from Fear the Sword, or was it Justin Rohan? One of them, one of those Fear the Sword guys, said that this might be one of the five greatest offensive teams ever, that Cavs team.
I can see it.
You know, it's easy to dismiss it, and then you kind of think about it and go, man, oof, he might be right.
Yeah, like, they lost in five to Golden State, but it wasn't because of their offense.
Like, so, I mean, but their offense, you know, it's funny. The only team that you can probably say this has a better offense is Golden State.
Right.
So it's just kind of crazy.
I think, if I'm not mistaken, they had a better offense than Golden State coming into the finals.
In the playoff, but also
yeah.
competition plays into that.
Well, yeah, that's... Yeah.
I mean, they played the Jazz and the Spurs while Cavs got to play, you know.
Well, hobbled Gobert, hobbled Favors, and then you got Kawhi for, yeah, what, 20-something right. minutes?
But, you know, the thing about the Kawhi... And the thing about the Kawhi thing was, and I know that throughout the course of a series, that's the defense you want, but it's not like they were bad with Kawhi not there defensively, you know what I mean? Like, I think their problem was more putting up points, you know, finding offense.
Basically the opposite of Cleveland.
Yeah, exactly. No, but the reason I brought up the Cleveland thing, oh God, so much I want to get into. I probably should have told a 20-minute drunk story. Because now it's really all coming story. Back, the things I wanted to talk about. That Cavs team was not better than the teams LeBron had here. Maybe it might have been better than the first-year Heat team, but I'm not even sure about that. But... LeBron has gone into the finals every year that he's been with Cleveland as the lesser team.
Absolutely. And
I believe in Miami, Nikias, and maybe you might be on the other side of this. I think in Miami he went to the finals every year as the better team, even in 2014 when they lost. Because if we remember, that series was a couple bounces and an air conditioning away from being up 2-0 coming home. That's, you know, what is that?
I'm just trying to think, because Dwayne Wade was so broken down at that point.
Yeah, his body just totally betrayed them. But he was good enough in the first two games.
I disagree.
Well, that's true. He had that random stretch at the end of the Indiana series, then to start off the finals, and then he just completely disappeared.
Yeah, he broke down.
All of the numbers from that 14 Spurs playoff team are just devastating. And the only team that I've seen top them in terms of a playoff run and just general dominance is this Warriors team. That Spurs team was devastating from start to finish in the playoffs. They were making all of their shots. They were shutting everybody down on defense. All of their passes were crisp. I don't understand. They were just a machine. And I don't think that he was a better team going into it. I think it was close just because of the
LeBron factor. Weren't they favored?
I think they were, if I'm not mistaken.
I think they were.
Were they?
Yeah, I think that one
and
the
Dallas.
I
thought they were favored in 13 and not favored in 14.
No, I think they were favored. I think the two titles that they won, they weren't favored, and the two that they lost, they were favored.
Let's see if I can look that up. I saw that a couple days ago, but.
But whatever. I mean.
Spurs team gives me nightmares.
That Gary, I still shoot from Gary Neal.
Oh my God! Gary Neal was born in the 2013 series. Same thing with Danny Green. From that series, what I remember the most is Patty Mills.
Oh my God, Patty Mills. I hate him so much. That's, man. I like that we can look back at this retroactively. That still, to me, feels like one of the weirdest series I've ever seen in my life.
What, 14 or 13?
14. No, 13 was amazing. Like, that was, you know, and oh God, so many things. Levitard was talking about how he felt that this series was the peak of basketball. That this was as good as basketball's ever been played. And I still think that 13 Heat Spurs series, just because of you had two genius coaches on the sidelines, adjustments every game, and it was body blow after body blow. It's, I'm going to do this, Spoelstra's going to adjust, and then Spoelstra's like, then Pop does one move, and then Spoelstra does another. And I remember at the end, it was like, ah, screw it. We're covering the shooters. Leave Tim Duncan out on low. And then they go to Tim Duncan all game. Like, it was not just one of the greatest coaching series I've ever seen, but it was just two well-oiled machines on both ends of the floor because they were both elite defensively, and they were both elite offensively. And it was just, what did that series have? Eight Hall of Famers?
This one has the same amount, I think.
Huh?
I think that this finals had the same amount, pretty much.
You know what's funny about that, and I was thinking about it because they were making fun of Iguodala for not. Iguodala might get in the Hall of Fame if they keep this run going. Like, this might eke Iguodala in. Yeah, and the kind of the all-star appearances to help him.
He had the final MVP.
I know. But, like, I don't think he's a Hall of Famer now. But, I don't think he's good enough to be in the Hall of Fame, but he'll probably get in. I mean, if they're putting Dennis Rodman in. People say Sean Marion's a Hall of Famer, for Christ's sake.
Don't get me started on this again, man.
I hate that so much.
I will fight you right now and then fight Tyler Johnson for you.
What is your beef with Sean Marion?
He's not a Hall of Famer. Guys, you cannot sit here and tell me that Sean Marion deserves to be amongst the all-time greats. Get out of here.
I would have to think about it, man.
Why? What is so...
He had a really, really good, 7-8 year run?
What's really, really good? Okay. We're doing this again.
I mean, I don't have his resume in front of me.
I'm doing it. Basketball reference.
Sean
Marion so many times.
Sean Marion was really good, man.
He was really good, but...
Imitated the LeBron.
Hall of Fame resonates for eternity. Sean Marion's, you're going to tell... You think if anyone's telling their kids a story, they're going to include Sean Marion?
If Dennis Rodman is in it, Sean Marion gets to be in it. That's my
thing. I mean, Mitch Richmond is in, and he won, I think, 3 playoff series in his entire life.
Oh, man, Sean Marion was good.
Thank you.
Not a Hall of Famer, but that's a pretty good...
I'm just saying, there are guys with weak resumes in the Hall of Fame.
And, this 22 points on 53% shooting, pretty good.
Maybe Paul Pierce, weak resume.
Huh? Wait, whoa, what? Whoa, what?
What?
Are we doing this today?
I just wanted to slam Paul Pierce.
Are we doing Paul Pierce's overrated talk in the last 3 minutes?
Yes.
Why?
I'm really here for it. Don't get me started, man. I will slander that guy for the rest of my life.
Why?
I hate Paul Pierce, man. I've never liked that man. I mean, I think he's kind of funny now because he's just old. I think it's funny because he's old, not because he's, like, cool funny.
Dog, you saw the heel turn when he slandered Durant forever? Dork. He slandered Durant forever, and now he was like, Durant's the best player in the league.
I don't see how you can even slander him anymore. The man tweeted out a JPEG picture instead of an emoji. you tweet out clip art. I mean...
That is insane. That takes more effort than just to do it the normal way.
He had to Google
how
that, dog.
How did you get clip art faster than doing it the regular way?
He had to Google that, dog. That was by... Listen, Twitter will never be better than that night.
Nope, never.
What are the all-time Twitter... what are the all-time Twitter nights for basketball?
Villanova last year when they hit the game winner in the championship game.
Oh, the crying faces everywhere.
Oh, my God. That was so funny, dude. Yes. I was at Flanagan's. Just pasted to my phone because of how good that was.
Oh, my Lord. Oh, when the Heat beat the Cavs on Christmas.
Oh, that was just Heat Twitter. Because also the Heat gone night was fun, too.
Just every summer with Heat Twitter is hilarious, man. It's the best.
Well, we're already doing it. We already think we're getting Chris Paul, Gordon Hayward, Paul George, the LeBron's coming back.
My guy, Kanye Cobain, already on it, checking people's followers every day. He saw them again. But Isaiah unfollowed Gordon Hayward.
Yeah, yeah. We're crazy people. Heat Twitter is filled with... Yeah, God, if you think about this, I was talking about this earlier. I think that Heat Twitter is amongst the most savage internet communities ever. And I've been a part of a fair share of internet communities. Listen, as a nerd, I've grown up on the internet. And we've seen how we deal with other fan bases. It's always child's play. I think the only people that might be worse than us are those alt-right memers. They're scary, dude. Yeah. Other than them, I think we beat everyone. He Twitter horsecock someone's child. Who's that, Fitz? Or was that Silky? Oh, no, it was Slim!
Oh, you mean LeBron? Kevin Durant's child?
Is that what it was? Do you remember what that was? That was a long time ago.
I feel like I missed peak Heat Twitter.
Yeah, you did. Peak Heat Twitter was middle of the heat of the big 3 years. Now Twitter's soft, dude. Heat Twitter has changed. Now we have Aaron running around. And I'm like, oh, God, what happened to us? We were once proud. We had an owl. Aaron. Yeah, we have like that Aaron the TJ stand guy. He's running around out there. You know, we used to have like Alf and Slim and, you know, Fitz. You know, the good old days. Greg from Del Rey. Underrated follow. Dan Gnarly. Those are the days, man. When Mike Ryan was one of us. Mike Ryan's changed, man. He's corporate.
I mean, he's still impacted Twitter forever, man.
No,
Mike Ryan versus Michael Rapaport.
Oh my! No, listen, Mike Ryan is a Heat Twitter lifer. Like, and that was the thing. And I remember we talked about it when it happened. Like, only we can slander Mike Ryan.
Yep.
Like, if you slander him, like, no, get out of here.
He's had some. If you think about it, his resume, he's had some legendary Heat like fan moments. You remember that show, the day that LeBron left, the show that they did?
Yeah.
Melo! Oh, my God. Forever. And then with the day that they traded for Goran,
this is one of the... I don't know. I just think we have more fun as Heat fans creatively than any other fan base. I honestly believe that. Like, we have, like, funny... We have fun, dude. And, like, I'd Levitar's partially to credit how he created this culture of fun around sports, but like, we have fun with this. Even when we're bad, we laugh and we make Dion Waiters memes.
Yes.
Anybody have a joke?
Nope. Let's say you just bought a house. Bad news is, you're one step closer to becoming your parents, which means you're going to start telling your kids to clean up before the cleaning lady comes. Doesn't make sense, but you're the parent and they're the kids. You're going to start telling them that now, too. Good news is, it's easy to bundle home and auto through Progressive and save on your car insurance. And there's your opening to remind them who pays the bills around here. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company, affiliates, and other insurers. Discount not available in all states or situations.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.